Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to Heathervale Baptist Church. If you're a visitor here, then we pray that you'll have a wonderful time. I'm Steve. I'm a little bit hoarse, but there we go. So, yeah, I was going to say that today's service is sponsored by Vocal Zone, because I'm just about getting through it. Okay. Anyway, so it's wonderful to see you all this morning, and especially for those joining us on Zoom. We pray that you'll have a wonderful time. But as I say, if you're a visitor here this morning, then we do pray that you'll have a wonderful time and be able to worship God with us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can come into your house this morning, that we can come to worship and to praise you, to give you all the glory that's due your name. And so, Lord, now, as we come to give you praise, we just ask that you would just inhabit our praises. Give us joy, give us exuberance, give us a real thirst for just worshiping you, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and let's sing together. We worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea, our God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. He hung upon that cross, then he rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. That God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. we shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. Arise for the glory of the Lord, rest upon us now, come and sing his praise. Arise, you're the everlasting light, flooding through my night, I will sing your praise. The Lord is our mighty Redeemer, he gives his love instead of anger. The gates of our hearts are open to you now. My Redeemer, I will praise you. My soul will arise, arise, arise. Sorrow soon will end. The Lord has heard our prayers, come and sing his praise. The Lord is our mighty Redeemer, he gives his love instead of anger. The gate of our hearts are open to you now. My Redeemer, I will praise you, my soul will arise. Arise, 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 my soul, and sing. 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 My Redeemer, I will praise you. My soul will arise. My Redeemer, I will praise you. My soul will arise.
Let's just give God the glory. Lift up your voices as one. Let's just lift our voices. Hallelujah, Jesus. We come before you this morning with thanksgiving. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Blessed is the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Let's lift our voices, church. Praise you, Lord, for your goodness, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. Amen. Please be seated. So a little later on, Phil Knox, who's a visitor this morning, he's down here at the front. Stand up, Phil, so people can see you first. There we go. So he's a friendly face, and we look forward to hearing what God's going to say to us from you later on. But now Mark's going to come and give a talk, but I'm just going to pray for Mark as he comes. Father God, we thank you for the young people in this place, and we thank you for Mark and the work he does with our young people. So now, Lord, as we hear this all age talk, Lord, we just pray that it would go deep into our hearts, that, Lord, you would bless us as we're blessed by what Mark has to say. We thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I think we're all on. Excellent. So, here again. And as I always say, it's great to see such, all of you, really. I say it every week. It's a real privilege to be able to share some thoughts with you each morning. So today in our children's church, in Emerge, we're continuing our theme of in-between times. That's the times in between Jesus' resurrection and the giving of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And today, we're focusing on the theme of trusting God. We're looking at the story of Peter and the other disciples fishing all night and not catching anything, and then Jesus appearing on the shore and telling them to fish on the other side of the boat, as if that would make any difference. And they did, with amazing results. But hang on a minute, because Peter and his mates, they were all career fishermen, weren't they? It was their job. They knew what they were doing. They'd done it since they were little tots. Jesus, what was he? He was a carpenter. What did he know about fishing? But they did it anyway, didn't they? Because sometimes it seems like what God is asking us to do is completely futile, pointless, or even impossible. Sometimes we just don't understand what God is telling us to do, do we? But our God is a God of the impossible. Well, he is, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah? Our God is a God of the impossible. Let me try and explain. Has anyone ever seen a ship in a bottle?
Yes.
Just so happens that I have one here. Now, this was my grandfather's, and I think we can all agree that's pretty incredible, isn't it? Yeah, you can have a look afterwards if you want to. But it's impossible, surely. How can you do all of that inside a bottle? You can't make the bottle around it afterwards, can you? But God is the God of the impossible. So I'm going to need some help now. Rachel, come on. I might need some more help in a minute. Because God is the God of the impossible, isn't he? And Rachel, can you put that balloon inside that bottle, please? Now, you might have to squeeze it. Squeeze it a bit. So it'll go in. Can you do it?
Possibly not.
You don't think you can do that? But it's not impossible.
Okay, I'm literally about to burst.
Because I've already done it. So here's my balloon inside the bottle. How do you think I did that?
You blew it up after it was in the bottle.
Oh, right, okay. So here's a balloon. Put that in the bottle, and if you can just blow that up for me, that would be really great. Come on, blow! Blow it harder. Bit more puff. No, I want it as big as this one. Come on, keep blowing. Maybe we need an adult to come and help. Sam? Oh no, Sam can't blow up balloons either, can he, Simon? No. Who wants to come and blow up this balloon? No, we've witnessed Martin trying to blow up balloons. It's quite amusing. Phil, do you want to have a go? Let's give you a clean balloon. There we go. We'll just pop that in there. And if you can just blow that up for me.
I mean, this is a big test, and goodness me.
Wait, hold on. Give me a minute.
Are these like special balloons so that we've deliberately can't blow them up?
Oh, he's doing well. It's not bad.
Very light-headed at the moment.
It's not bad. But our God is the God of impossible, because do you know what? I can do it. But I'll need some big breaths. And if you could pray for me as well, that would really help. So
go on, Mark.
Whoa. I've lost the end of it.
It was a great job, Mark. Come on, Mark.
There we go. Let's just tie it off. Oh. Nearly lost it. See, thank you guys. You can sit down. You see, nothing is impossible for God. You prayed for me, I could blow up the balloon. Yeah? So when he asks us to do things that might seem a bit strange, that might seem a bit ridiculous, that might seem impossible or futile, just trust in God, like Peter, trusting in God. And threw his nets on the other side and caught an amazing catch of fish. Because God loves you. He wants the best for you. He won't do anything to harm you. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, whichever of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give you a snake. If then you, even though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So, put your trust in God, and he will always be with you. Put your trust in God, and he will enable you to do more than you could possibly imagine. And if you do, it will be the most exciting, most exhilarating, most amazing journey of your life that you could ever go on. And all you have to do is put your trust in God, in Jesus. Come to him and ask him to be Lord of your life. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Well, it's now time for our young people to go out to their groups, so if they'd like to make their exodus, and if we can also take up the offering, please. Let's pray for the young people and for the offering. Father God, we thank you for our young people. We thank you for the joy that they are in our congregation. And Lord, as they go out to learn more about you, Lord, would you just continue to hold their hearts, continue to hold them in your safe place. Lord, we just ask now that you would just be with the teachers, those that are giving them instruction, Lord, who are imparting knowledge to them. Lord, we pray that you would just bless them as well. And Lord, we pray for the money that's been given. Lord, we want to see your kingdom extended, not just here in Newhall, but further afield. And so, Lord, we just ask that you give us wisdom in how we use this money. And we thank you that you've made us cheerful givers. And we bless you, Jesus. Amen. Let's continue to worship our God together. Stand if we can.
your majesty in every star that shines and every time we breathe. Your glory, God, revealed from distant galaxies to here beneath our skin. You are higher than we ever could imagine, closer than our eyes could ever see. You are magnificent. You alone are holy. No one else is glorious as you. Magnificent. Jesus, you are worthy. Who can shine as brightly as you do? Magnificent. You're so magnificent. You're lighting up our lives with everything our hearts, with everything you are. You are higher than we ever could imagine, closer than our eyes could ever see. You are magnificent. You alone are holy. No one else is glorious as you. Magnificent. Jesus, you are worthy. Who can shine as brightly as you do? Magnificent. You're so magnificent. You are higher than we ever could imagine, closer than our eyes could ever see. We are pouring out our hearts here in your presence. Magnificent, you alone are holy. No one else is glorious as you. Magnificent. And Jesus, you are worthy. Who can shine as brightly as you do? Magnificent. You're so magnificent. Magnificent. Jesus, you are holy. No one else is glorious as you. Magnificent. Jesus, you are worthy. Who can shine as brightly as you do? Magnificent. You're so magnificent. Be lifted up. Be lifted up. Be lifted up, be lifted up, as we bow down, be lifted up. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the nations be glad. Let the whole earth tremble. For you are God. Come worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. As we bow down, be lifted up. As we bow down, be lifted up. Be lifted up. Be lifted. Let the nations be glad. Let the whole earth tremble. For you are God. Come worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the nations be glad. Let the whole earth tremble. For you are God. Come worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. As we bow down, be lifted up. As we bow down, be lifted up. Let's just worship our God together. As we bow down, be lifted up. As we bow down, be lifted up. Bring our worship before the Lord.
Worship you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. Holy is the Lord.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. To those who fear the Lord, lack nothing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Do good, seek peace. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. We bless you, Lord. We thank you that we can come into your presence. Lord, thank you for the heartfelt thanks that we've just been given, for the worship that's come from our hearts. Lord, we bless you. We bless your holy name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So in a moment, Phil's going to come and talk to us. I think we've got a reading first, hopefully, and then there's a video going to come, right? So the word of the Lord this morning. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and in my word, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Lord, we just pray now for Phil as he comes to speak. Lord, we've heard those words before many times. Love each other. We're friends. And Lord, we now welcome our friend in God to come and speak to us. Lord, will you just bless him and bless us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so I think there's a video coming first, and then hopefully everything works.
We are the Evangelical Alliance.
We want everyone in the UK to have the opportunity to know Jesus.
We are an alliance of evangelicals, of churches and charities,
entrepreneurs, grandmas,
colleagues, neighbours, friends,
loving God, serving each other,
declaring with one voice, Jesus is our King.
We are an alliance of evangelicals. cheering each other on as we seek to be salt and light in the world.
You'll find us everywhere.
In places of influence.
And where people are hurting the most.
In Parliament.
In government.
At Garden Street Outseon.
Speaking out on issues that matter the most.
We're transforming communities.
Changing lives.
With the amazingly good news of Jesus.
We are the Evangelical Alliance.
Собрание различных времен и народов.
We pray, speak,
listen and share.
Through challenging times and choppy waters.
We stand together and serve each other.
We are the Evangelical Alliance.
Together, we're making Jesus known.
It's wonderful to be with you today. I'm just going to move this here. I've been very, very frightened that that might get knocked off just until this moment. Also, I'm very glad I've got some lung power left after that balloon blowing extravaganza. It's so brilliant to be with you again. I think it's 5 years since I was last here, and it's so wonderful to be in Heather Vale again. Before we get started and dive into God's word, I wonder whether I might infuse you with something I'm really passionate about and invite you to do something really important. And that is, if you're not yet a personal member of the Evangelical Alliance, I want to invite you to become one. Let me tell you why that matters and what you can do about it. Well, first of all, many people ask me, what is an evangelical? Well, an evangelical is a good news person in a bad news world. Evangelical comes from the Greek word evangel, which means good news. And my word, in our world right now, don't we need some good news people? Evangelicals, what else? Well, evangelicals are people of the Bible. We don't change the words of God to accommodate our culture. We want to see our culture transformed with the word of God. Secondly, we're people of Jesus. We believe that his life and his death and his resurrection was the most important moment in the whole of human history. That he's our God, but he can also be our friend. Thirdly, we evangelicals are people of conversion. We believe that the most important decision anyone can ever make is to choose to follow Jesus or not. And fourthly, we're people of activism. We want to see the world become more like the kingdom. That's why it was evangelicals who were at the forefront of the abolition of the slave trade. More recently, that's looked like Christians Against Poverty, food banks, street pastors, toddler groups, whatever we can do to see hope come to the hopeless in our world. And we're an alliance of evangelicals. Why? Because Jesus' prayer in John 17 is that the church might be one so that the world would know. So we're a stream of streams uniting Christians from every denomination, background, story, and ethnicity. We've existed since 1846 to do two really simple things. First of all, we want to see every single person in the UK come to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. So we equip and we inspire the church to be able to do that. But secondly, we speak up at the highest levels of government on issues that really matter to Christians. Why? Because the church is amazing. Church is doing an incredible job in society to be such a blessing. Government need to know. Secondly, because if we don't, who will? Thirdly, because it's an increasingly contested space for Christians at the moment. And so we speak up on issues that really matter to Christians. Issues like free speech. Why? Because it shouldn't be a hate crime to declare that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. One example of that, there was a bill going through Parliament a few years ago that would have enabled Ofsted to come into every Sunday school and youth group in the country and essentially vet what was being said. We thought that sounded more like North Korea or Saudi Arabia than the UK. Government controlling private religion. So we spoke up. I'm delighted to say that as a result of that intervention, that bill has been kicked into touch for the time being. Isn't that good news? But here's where we need your help. Because the strength of our voice in Parliament depends on the size of our membership. And so we are 600 organisations, 3,000 churches, and around 23,000 individuals. The really good news is this time last year, we were at 18,000 individuals. So we've had a net gain of 5,000 over the last year. It's really exciting, isn't it? But the dream is over the next 10 years to get to 50,000. Why 50,000? Because 50,000 is about the size of the Liberal Democrats. Bear with me. We're not a political party. But if you're bigger than the third largest political party, it means that when a new prime minister comes in, they have to call us rather than the other way around. And do you know what? We're seeing incredible opportunities to speak Jesus into some amazing places at the moment. So if you're able to join us today, it would make a big difference to help us get to that 50,000. So if you're able to do that, I've got a little table where you have coffee and tea at the end of the service. Would love you to give you a little form like this. If you're able to join us, fill in a few details. It costs just £3 a month to join the Evangelical Alliance. And we're not raising that because the membership thing's the most important thing. We're not after your money. But the membership fee is important because it shows commitment to the cause. If you're part of a couple, please tick the box that says couple. And we get to split, that counts as two. We get to speak on behalf of both of you. If your spouse isn't here, just tick the box anyway and tell them later. And if you join us today, just as a small token of our appreciation, we'd love to just give you a few things just to say thank you. The first is you're about to hear, I'm really passionate about friendship. I wrote a book during the pandemic on friendship called The Best of Friends. Join us today. We'd love to just give you this for free just to say thank you. Second thing we'd love to give you is this. It's called Speak Up. Loads of people kept getting their information as to whether they could share their faith at work from the newspaper rather than the law. So we decided to write this in conjunction with the Lawyers Christian Fellowship to tell you your rights and responsibilities when sharing your faith at work or in the community. Many people say you can't share your faith at work. You can. You just can't abuse a position of authority over an employee. Loads of people say you can't wear a cross at work. You can. You just can't wear a life-size one because it's a health and safety hazard. So we'd love to share that with you. And finally, and for some of you this might swing the deal, and if this doesn't, I'm out of ideas. I'd love to give you, if you join us today, an Evangelical Lions keyring. I know. It's got on the end of it one of those detachable pound coins, which means that next time you go to the supermarket in a cashless society, you will thank Jesus the day you joined the Evangelical Alliance. So please come and see me at the end. Please join us. It makes a big difference. But do you know what? God's on the move in this nation. Jesus is alive. The gospel still works. And we're together believing that we might make Jesus known. But it's an increasingly contested space. So please do pray for us as we speak up for all of us on behalf in those corridors of power. Let's pray, shall we? And I just invite you in your own heart to pray a really simple prayer and ask God to speak to you today. Just invite you where you are to pray a really simple prayer and say, Lord, would you please speak to me today? In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's brilliant to be with you. I live in Birmingham. Can everybody say Birmingham? Thank you so much. Feel a bit more at home. But our offices are down south in London. So what I do often is I get the train on a Tuesday morning down to London. And our office is at King's Cross. And then I stay overnight somewhere in London. And then head back on a Wednesday night. And because I'm quite cheap, I refuse to pay for a hotel. And so I've got a load of friends that I stay with. And I kind of rotate these friends so I don't outstay my welcome anywhere. And a few months ago, I was staying with a friend, and it's one of those relationships, I don't know whether you have these, where I know him far better than I know her. In fact, I'd only met her a couple of times, but as I'm staying at a house, I decide it's time to take my relationship with my friend's wife to the next level. Because we are somewhere between, I don't know whether you have this, somewhere between handshake and hug. Do you know what I'm talking about? So a really awkward no man's land in a relationship. And so picture the scene, if you will. I'm sat in the living room watching TV with his kids. He's cooking dinner for us in the kitchen. And she comes down the stairs, and I'm determined to let her know we're ready to go from handshake to hug. So as she comes down, I put my arms out to embrace and say, thank you so much for letting me stay. And it's fair to say in this moment, my enthusiasm for this embrace is far greater than hers. It's a bit like hugging a lamppost. And then I step back, and there's this horrendous moment, which I cringe just to tell you about now, where she is looking at me with utter bewilderment. And I have this horrendous moment where I realise that the woman I've just hugged is not the wife of my friend. It's the friend of the wife of my friend. And then do you know what? We do this really British thing, where we look at each other with our eyes and say to each other with our eyes, we will never speak of this again. Just because we have proximity doesn't mean we have intimacy. Just because we have 1,000 connections on Facebook doesn't mean we have any friends we can call when the storms hit the shores of our life. Just because we're in the house of the Lord doesn't mean we have a friendship with the living God. And as that beautiful reading expresses, we were created for relationship. Jesus says in this passage, love each other as I have loved you. We were made, you were made, created for a relationship with the living God. Isn't that amazing? But also we were made for a relationship with one another. And yet the challenge in our world at the moment is we're living in relational poverty. As I've researched friendship over the last few years, I found some really shocking stats. Do you know, 1 in 3 men say they have no close friends. It's not much better for women. 40% of young adults, by the way, the most connected generation in history, say they always or often feel lonely. At the end of last year, the World Health Organization said that loneliness is a global pressing health threat. And yet the good news of the gospel is we were made for a relationship with Jesus and with one another. And we need friends. We've got music and movies on demand. We've got the world in the palm of our hand. We've got fun trips, internships, play scripts and hair snips. Film clips, fish and chips at the touch of our thumbtips. Need to lead or breed or feed your cat? Well, it turns out there's an app for that. But we need friends. We've got computers for a fiver. Cars without a driver. We've got louder, further, faster, more. A bigger network than ever before. But we need friends. And friends are amazing. See, friendship is atomic. From the nursing home to the coffee shop, from the boardroom to the playground. It's relational connections that make the world go round. See, we were created to know and be known. It's better to eat kebabs with friends than salad on your own. And yet we trace in populous places. We're strangers in rooms of familiar faces. We crave deeper meaningfuls but experience anonymity. We dance superficially around the promise of proximity. And we need friends. And quantity is no substitute for quality. We need 5G, HD, 24 karat friends. Lifelong, fight strong, tag along, forgive all wrong friends. Friends to talk through our problems personal. Friends to call when the cancer's terminal. When it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, your year. You just remember what your old pal said. We get by with a little help, my friends. And look to the one who made friendship possible, whose nail-pierced hands bridged a chasm uncrossable. His scandalous invitation follows the most glorious of amends. There is no greater love than they that lay their life down for their friends. So, celebrate with me the ship most worth sailing and follow the example of the friend unfailing. May we raise our game and drop our cover, invest our energies in one another. May we still be there when the rain starts to fall. And accept the most important friend request of all, because we need friends. And what this passage so beautifully communicates in the words of Jesus 2,000 years ago that are alive today, some beautiful principles that I believe that if we applied in our world, we'd be a lot less lonely. And we'd learn again how to invest in the friendships that matter the most to us. So what I'd love to do this morning is just share with you a few of those principles that Jesus speaks into. And the first is this, that great friendship is sacrificial. Do you know, just about the most powerful cultural story in our world today is what is known as expressive individualism. You probably don't know it by that name, but I bet you know it by its mantras. You do you. Follow your heart. Be true to your own desires. Express your authentic self. The story of our culture from the moment we get up and turn our phone on in the morning says it's all about you. Leading sociologist David Foster Wallace to comment, everything in my own immediate existence supports my deep belief that I am the absolute center of the universe, the most realist, most vivid person in existence. But in a world that tells you it's all about you, Jesus says this, there is no greater love than they that lay their life down. Their friends. And I just wonder, maybe one of the reasons we are so lonely in our world today is we are bombarded with individualism and we've lost the heart and the art of preferring one another over ourselves. And for some of us today, that might mean dropping everything for those who are in need. For some of us, that might mean avoiding the need to be right all the time. For some of us, that might mean spending time with people who are different from us. Great friendship is sacrificial. I've seen this most recently in the life of my mum. Since I saw you, I don't know whether you've noticed, there's a thing called COVID-19, this little pandemic we had. Well, I don't know, like many of us, I had a really terrible pandemic. See, I'm an author. My first book came out the week all the bookshops closed in March 2020. I can't tell you how discouraged and disappointed I was. And then what happened was, far more tragically, my mum, who'd been battling with cancer for about 6 months, we found out that cancer was terminal. So I spent the first few weeks of lockdown sat at the end of my mum's driveway, watching her physically deteriorate. But yeah, this was a woman who, as a young girl, had made a decision to follow Jesus. She'd accepted God's offer of friendship for herself. And it was like all of her life she'd been investing in a spiritual bank account. And then in her dying months was able to withdraw from that. Because I'd never seen her so spiritually strong than in those last few weeks. And then she did something I recommend we all do if we know we're going to be with Jesus soon. And that is one afternoon she takes her iPad. She records a message to be played at her funeral. She always wanted the last word, did my mum. And in this message, she talks about how her decision to follow Jesus, the knowledge of God in her heart has given her forgiveness for her past. God with her in her present agony. And her absolute assurance of hope for the future. And then she went to be with Jesus on the 8th of June 2020. We weren't able to have a physical funeral in a church building, so we did it on Zoom. About 300 screens turned up. It was amazing. My mum got to preach at her own funeral. But because she wasn't around to stop me, and I'm an evangelist, I had the last word. I gave people an opportunity to respond to my mum's amazing gospel presentation. And you know, at the end of the call, we clicked leave on the call. I turned my phone on. There was a message of one of mum's friends who she prayed for many years to come to faith. And it simply said this: Phil, I prayed that prayer with you. I believe Jesus died for me. Isn't that amazing? Why does that happen? Because a woman who in her last days had every right to think about herself in a world that says you do you, follow your own heart, she thought of someone else. She thought of others. There is no greater love than they that lay their life down for their friends. Second thing we learn from Jesus in this passage is that great friendship is intentional. Jesus says a couple of times in this passage, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you." Now, this isn't normally how it happened. The relationship between Jesus and his disciples was a little different. Normally what would happen is disciples would find someone they wanted to apprentice to. Disciples would find a rabbi. They would find someone they wanted to be like and say, "Can I be your disciple?" But Jesus flips the norm. He says to his disciples, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you." If you know the Bible, you'll know that a few chapters earlier, Jesus spends a whole night praying about who he's going to spend his time with. And then finds 12 people to do life with, leading many people to say that Jesus' greatest miracle wasn't the feeding of the 5,000, it was having 12 close friends in his 30s. And what Jesus does with these 12, what's really interesting is not only is he intentional with 12, but he's even more intentional with three of these disciples. So there's a couple of key moments in Jesus' life where he takes Peter, James and John with him and doesn't allow the other nine to come with him. That's a bit awkward, isn't it? It's a bit, when you read that, you're like, that is a bit awkward. Imagine being Philip or Bartholomew or Thomas. Or do you know who I feel really sorry for? Andrew. Do you know why? Because James and John are brothers and they're like, "Where with Jesus?" Peter, his name gets called, he gets to go. Andrew must have been thinking, "It is my turn." Do you know why? Because he's Peter's brother. And the others are getting called along and he's there. Do you know what's even more awkward? It was Peter who introduced Andrew to Jesus. So Andrew introduced Peter to Jesus. There's a special place in heaven for Andrew when we get there. But Jesus is really intentional. And one of the things I've realised as I've researched friendship over the last few years is that there's some amazing science around friendship. So this amazing anthropologist looked into our capacity for relationships. If you've got 2,000 friends on Facebook, they aren't all your friends. Because our human capacity for relationships is about 150. By the way, if you've not got 150 friends, don't worry. That's kind of the upper limit. But our brains are only capable of having about 150 friends. Then what this leading anthropologist did, who's not a Christian, is he asked, how many good friends can you have? How many great friends can you have? He worked out you can have about 12 good friends. Sounds familiar. Then he said you can have about 3 great friends. Isn't that amazing? It's like Jesus knew what he was talking about. When the Son of God came from highest heaven to lowest earth, he constructed his relationships in a way that 2,000 years later, science would tell you, works. Who knew? But there's a truth there, isn't there, about where we invest our relational energy. And you know, as I've researched friendship over the last few years, I've found a lot of people who have a lot of mates. They have a lot of people in their outer circles, but have very few in their inner circles. Real friends. Who we can call in our problems personal and when the cancer's terminal. So I'd encourage you today, how intentional are you with your relationships and friendships? Because the pressure on our relationships are real. Second thing we realize in this passage about friendship is a couple of shocking statements that Jesus made. Where when Jesus said these, the disciples would have said, "Say that again, Jesus. What did you just say?" Because he says, "I have called you." And this was not the primary lens through which the disciples saw their relationship with Jesus. He was their rabbi, their teacher. There was kind of necessary distance between the two of them. A few years ago, I was on holiday and realized that my old biology teacher was in exactly the same place. So we went for a drink. And I couldn't stop calling him sir. I was in my 30s. It was really odd. But in the same way, there was distance between the relationship between the disciples and their rabbi. And yet Jesus says, I have called you friends. There's no other record of any other rabbi in the first century calling their disciples friends. And I think Jesus is really obvious about this. He's intentional because he wants to communicate something really important to us today. Theologian A.W. Tozer says that what comes to our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. The Bible gives us loads of images, lenses, metaphors through which we think about what it means to relate to the God of the universe. That he's our creator, our provider, our sustainer, our judge, our savior, our father. But don't miss this today. God is also your friend. God is also your friend. Do you know the best news in the universe is that God invites us to be friends with him. Don't miss that. If you don't know God as your friend this morning, I want to urge you with all that I am that you can know him as your friend. And if you do know Jesus as your friend today, I want to urge you to make that relationship, make that friendship the number one thing in your life. You know, too many of my friends at the moment are considering their next job promotion or their next house extension or what happens to their sports team more important than their relationship with Jesus. Don't let anything become more important than your friendship with Jesus. So at the beginning of this passage, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. If you want to be alive every day of your life, make your friendship with Jesus the most important thing. Invest the time and the energy in getting to know him through his word, talking to him through prayer. Because if you don't, Jesus says, if you don't remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you want to be alive spiritually, remain in Jesus' love as he communicates to us and encourages us to do in verse 9. So great friendship is sacrificial. Great friendship is intentional. And finally, great friendship is invitational. As God extends his invitation of friendship to us, he also invites us to extend it to a world that so desperately needs it. A couple of times in this passage, Jesus says, I've appointed you that you might go and bear fruit. And we bear fruit in lots of different ways as Christians. By becoming more like Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. When we bear fruit in our life, we become more like Jesus. But there's also something about us bearing fruit by bringing hope to a world that so desperately needs it. And I don't know about anybody else, but my newsfeed at the moment is about as bad as it's ever been in my lifetime. And I think that's leading to a bit of a vacuum of hope in our world. Do you know, the Collins Dictionary word for 2022 was permacrisis. Permacrisis. An extended period of instability and insecurity brought on by a catastrophic series of events. Feels like we've lurched from a global pandemic to a cost of living crisis, the threat of World War III. Death of a monarch, political turmoil, ecological and economic meltdown. And I think the world feels it. I think we're weary of chaos. And you know, as Christians, if you're a follower of Jesus today, I want you to know that you're a bearer of hope. Because you're a friend of God, because you're remaining in the love of God, we are those people who our friends look to be a non-anxious presence in an anxious world. To be a hopeful person in a world that's increasingly hopeless. And I've seen this most recently in my mate John. Got a few people who I'm praying for, I try to pray for every day, that they might become Christians. One of those is a mate of mine called John, who I've known since school. And I realized this kind of, that we're those people last year when he reached out to me, almost exactly to the day this time last year. And he texted me and asked me for prayer. And I didn't realize this at first because I got a text message that needed some deciphering. He said, got any time over weekend? Need a word with the top dog big man if you can help, pal. If your friends text you that, they're asking you for prayer, okay? So as you can see from the interchange, I'm a classy gent, and I took him for breakfast at Wetherspoons. Other places to eat are available for breakfast. And so we went to Wetherspoons. We sat there. It was 9:30 on a Saturday morning. I say, what's going on? And he says his brother had called him that week with a suspected brain tumor. He called him to say, could John look after his kids when he died? And he had another kid on the way. What do you do? So I didn't really know what to do. So I said, we should pray, shouldn't we? He goes, what now? I said, yeah. So 9:30 in the morning with, you know, I live in the West Midlands, people swigging pints all over the place. It was beautiful. We prayed that his brother might be healed. I texted him on the Monday, any news? He says, no. And on the Tuesday, he texts, no brain tumour. Thanks for your work, pal. Do you know what? John's still not a Christian. He still doesn't know the top dog big man. But you know what? He might be a bit closer. And in your life, you have Johns. There are people who will look to you as people of hope, people who are friends with God. We bring peace and hope into an anxious and hopeless world. I want to encourage you, if you haven't got a few people who you're praying for regularly to come to faith. You know, John is getting close to Jesus at what feels like a glacial pace. But I don't stop praying for him. Now, hear me really well on this. We don't become friends with people to convert them. But it's so often that through friendship, God does his best work and draws people to himself. Why? Because we're those who are connected to the relational God. We should be the best friends in the world. So today, may you know that God's invitation to you is one of friendship. May you be captured again by the beauty of the gift of friendship that God has given you. Encourage you to think about the relationships and friendships you have. Don't miss your friendship with God. Give all that you have to that friendship. But also may you know, in the perma-crisis, we are those who invite people to be friends with the living God. And that really is a matter of life and death. Let's pray, shall we? And I just wonder before we pray, just while your heads are bowed, I just wonder whether there's anyone here today who hasn't accepted that offer of friendship with God. Or there's someone today who just maybe you need to know that God loves you. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and he lived and he died and he rose again, so that you might be friends with God. If that's you today, I want to invite you to pray a prayer in your heart to say that you want to follow him. A bit like the prayer that my mum prayed as a young girl. To say, God, I'm sorry I got it wrong. I don't have it all together, but I want to have a go at following you. If that's you today, I just invite you in the quiet to bow your head. God can hear the call of your heart. And just in the quiet, I invite you to connect with him. Maybe in the past you've chosen to follow God, but today you feel far from him. God invites you today, again, afresh, into friendship with him. I just invite you where you are to pray a really simple prayer and say, God, I'm sorry I've got it wrong. Thank you that you died and you rose again so that I could know forgiveness for my past. God with me today and hope for the future. And I want to have a go at following you. Amen. Just while everyone's head's still bowed, just wonder if you prayed that prayer with me this morning, and would you do something really brave? Would you just put your hand in the air? Does anyone else, anyone pray that prayer this morning? Just invite you wherever you're at today, just to invite God's Holy Spirit to speak to you. And maybe for some of us, as we talked about friendship, that brings up pain. I encourage you to give that to God. Maybe for some of us, we know that the Lord's been just prodding us to be more intentional with some of our friendships. Maybe you might just invite him to ask might I just ask him who you need to reach out to this week? And finally, I just wonder whether there's others of us who we think about our Johns, the people in our lives who don't yet know Jesus. And I just invite you to commit afresh to praying for them, to intensify your prayers that they might come to know Jesus for themselves. Father, I thank you for this brilliant and beautiful church. I pray that the friendships within this church will be strengthened. I pray too that over the coming days, many might come to know you through people in this church. As the world becomes increasingly bonkers, we as those who carry hope would do so to those around us, our neighbours, our colleagues, our friends, our family members, in a way that draws them to relationship with you. In Jesus' name. And may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. And may he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.
Thanks, Phil. That's amazing, wasn't it? Let's finish by singing this song, "All the Room Was Hushed and Still." Love each other.
Love each other in the way that I
So, Father God, we pray that you would just help us to go out into this world, making friends and seeing them come to Christ. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.